All right, welcome to this deep dive. Today, we're tackling a really tricky area in California workers' compensation. We're talking about claims filed after someone's already left their job.
That's right. And these post-termination claims, you really need to pay attention because, well, they're often highly suspect for potential fraud. They cost employers, they drive up costs for everyone, frankly, and they pull resources away from people who are genuinely hurt.
Okay, so using the material we've looked at, our mission seems pretty clear. We want to unpack the sort of hidden threats here, spot those key red flags, understand the legal tools available, and really see how investigation can make a huge difference. So where do we even start looking for trouble signs?
Well, you start with the warning signs, the really obvious red flags. They're often right there on the surface.
Right. And this is where it gets interesting. The timing itself is maybe the biggest one. The claim just pops up right after they're gone, especially, you know, after a layoff or a firing, or like in that one case study, after his rehire request got denied.
Exactly. And look for that disconnect. They allege a really severe injury, something major, but there was absolutely no report, no complaint, nothing while they were still employed. Juan claimed severe back and knee issues, but zero notice before he left. That's silence. That's loud. It's a huge red flag.
Another thing, the first time the employer even hears about this injury isn't from the person themselves. It's a letter from an attorney landing on their desk. That feels pretty calculated, doesn't it?
It certainly can. And watch the doctor choice. If they immediately skip the employer's approved list of doctors in the MPN and instead go straight to a doctor who's maybe known for writing reports that favor the claimant, like Dr. Johnson in Juan's case. That's another sign.
Okay, what else should you be looking for?
History. You absolutely have to look at their history. Mm-hmm. Digging into past claims using state systems like EDACs or EAMS or even public court records.
Mm-hmm.
If you find prior claims, prior lawsuits, especially involving the exact same body parts. Remember, Juan had that prior personal injury settlement for his knee and lower back. It's rarely a coincidence.
And now with social media everywhere.
Oh, definitely. Their online life can tell a story. Finding publicly posted photos or videos showing activities that just don't match the claimed limitations, like Mark's rock climbing pictures while claiming severe back pain. That can be incredibly powerful evidence, but you have to get it legally, of course. Publicly available stuff only.
So when these red flags are, like, waving frantically, what does the law actually provide? You're not just stuck.
No, absolutely not. California law actually gives you a pretty significant shield here. It's Labor Code Section 3600A10.
Okay, 3600A10. Break that down for us. What does it do?
It creates a legal presumption, a really powerful one. Basically, the law presumes the injury is not work-related if the claim is filed after the employee got notice they were being terminated or laid off.
Yeah.
So the burden, you know, the responsibility, shifts to the former employee to prove it actually fits a narrow exception, like proving the employer knew before termination.
That presumption sounds like a big deal. But you mentioned timelines, too. Those are critical.
Oh, yes. Very critical. And missing them is bad news. You have to give them a claim form, the DWC-1, within one working day of getting notice of the injury claim and report it to your insurance carrier within 5 days. Failures there can mean you lose some defenses.
And there's that 90-day window.
Right. From the day the claim form is filed, you have exactly 90 days to investigate and accept or deny the claim. If you blow past that deadline, Section 5402 kicks in. The claim is then presumed to be compensable, even if you later find solid proof of fraud. Plus, you might have to pay up to $10,000 in medical treatment while you're investigating.
Okay, that really highlights the need to act fast and smart. When you see those flags, how do you gather that crucial evidence?
You investigate. Systematically, carefully, and legally is key. Check those databases we mentioned, EDACs, EMS, public records. Look at publicly accessible social media. Like with Mark's Instagram photos, metadata can even show when and where they were taken. But stick to the rules. No fake profiles, no private access.
And what about actual surveillance?
Surveillance can be very effective, but again, legally compliant. Public places only, and you need a good reason. What's called articulable suspicion. But capturing video of Juan doing, say, 400-pound leg presses when he says he can hardly walk, or Marka lifting heavy stuff. That kind of visual proof, it's hard to argue with.
So it sounds like the goal is to counter their subjective story with objective facts.
Precisely. Look, the doctors, the QMEs or AMEs who evaluate them, they're important, but their opinions often rely heavily on what the patient tells them about their pain, their limits.
But solid investigation provides the other side of the story.
Exactly. When you present objective evidence, clear surveillance video, documented proof of prior injuries to the same body parts, you can directly challenge that narrative. It can actually change a doctor's opinion when they see the reality versus just the subjective complaints. The facts show what they can really do.
And when you do uncover clear evidence of misrepresentation or fraud, what's the outcome?
Well, strong evidence allows you to deny the claim. You can establish there was no work-related injury happening in the course and scope of employment because of the misrepresentation, like in Mark's case.
Does the person face any consequences?
They can. This kind of evidence can be referred for potential criminal charges. Think Insurance Code 1871.4 or Penal Code 550.
And what about the employer or the insurer? Can they get their costs back?
Yes, and this is crucial. Victims, the employer or insurer, can often recover costs. That includes medical bills payout, maybe during that 90-day window, and even the investigation costs. Remember one, that $8,000 investigation potentially saved over $150,000 in claim costs down the line.
Wow. So it really underscores the need for vigilance with these post-termination claims. Understanding the law, spotting those red flags quickly, and then doing smart legal investigations seem essential. Protects the whole system, really.
Absolutely. What this all boils down to, you know, is the power of objective, verifiable evidence. Facts over just claims.
Right. And that leaves a thought for you, the listener, to maybe mull over.
Yeah.
How often in other parts of your life, making big decisions, judging situations, maybe even assessing performance, how much weight are you giving to subjective claims versus seeking out that hard, objective, documented evidence? Something to think about.